Hi, my name is Joe Hildebrand, and this is Uncommon.
Uncommon and Uncommon Clips are produced by Narelle, a unique digital agency. Head to narelle.com to learn more. That's NARELLE.com.
It's a very interesting point, this whole discussion around political leanings. I always thought, you know, the funniest thing that I found with the whole friendly Geordies thing is because I like Jordan. I actually think he's a good guy. But I got to say, in the last, probably since COVID, he's definitely doubled down on that sort of more crazy left stuff. And because he has a big audience, he plays into a lot of things as well. So I found it really odd when he was having a go at you because I like both of you and what you both say in your opinion pieces. And I always thought that your type of opinion, at least politically, wasn't really, like I wrote it down here. I always picked you as a middle of the road guy like myself who picks teams based on policy that aligns with you personally. Like there's not a specific, you know, I think my friend said it to me the other day. He's like, the good thing about Jordan is you don't know what team he's for. Because we've got this mate who's like, he's just an outright conservative. And he's always, you know, like, oh, society today, you know, family values and all this other bullshit. Yeah. And I'm like, where did this come into this conversation? Like, what? How's a teacup got anything to do with family values? But, you know, one of the things that Friendly Geordie said is when he was on his rant is like this whole idea of propaganda coming from certain media assets. And I don't know where I really sit on it because I understand that, you know, at the end of the day, Murdoch owns a vast majority of press here, but also it's a business. And I wonder whether, like, how much truth do you think there is to pushing the idea of certain teams from certain, whether it's Murdoch Press, The Guardian, etc. How much of that do you think actually exists versus is just a meme?
Well, I think there's a couple of things. First, I mean, my politics are, they're pretty centrist, but basically, fundamentally, I'm a Labor guy. I'm a sort of Labor right guy, and that's where I sort of sit. I do not like what you might call woke green left politics, politics that are obsessed with identity or politics that believe in certain views being cancelled or censored. So I despise all that kind of stuff. I'm very much about the bread and butter of, you know, looking after people at the bottom of society and bringing them up. I'm a big believer in getting people into jobs and having those jobs being well paid and having people treated with dignity. And I'm a big believer in a strong state health system and strong state education system. And that's pretty much about it. I think that's pretty much all a government really has to do to be doing its job. And then, you know, there might be sort of stuff on the sides, but, you know, like issues like the Republic, who gives a toss really? As long as people are fed, they've got good jobs, I don't really care who the head of state is. I think there's certainly an argument for constitutional recognition for Indigenous people because that is, I think, a very important issue. But again, I think far more important is actually lifting those living conditions on the ground. And I've been out there and I've seen it, and getting things like, you know, literacy, school attendance, health rates up. I mean, that is a real important thing. That is the life and death stuff we have to do in that area. And yet it seems to me the stuff that gets the least attention compared to things like constitutional recognition, Australia Day, whatever, whatever. So my position is very much a pragmatic one and a practical one. And I think that is largely the position of most sort of sensible people.
Yeah, like at least 70% of the
population. In Australia, they want bread and butter stuff. They want to know what's in it for me and also is this really important. And apart from that, they pretty much want the government to leave them alone, not tell them what to think and certainly not tell them that they're racist and not take their money away from them. So I think sections of the left, the ideological left or the woke left or the identity politics obsessed left or the inner city left that wants to talk about nothing but climate change, for example, I think they have that has been a distraction from those bread and butter issues. That is why on a federal level Labor has only won one majority election in the last 25 years. On a state level, Labor's done much better because it's much more simply about service delivery. It's about their bread and butter stuff. So, you know, when Anastasia Palaszczuk focuses on jobs, she gets elected. When Dan Andrews focuses on trains, he gets elected. But when people think that Labor is obsessed with airy-fairy stuff, and to some extent I think climate change is a symbol of that, it's not the policy itself, but the idea that they're thinking about this some sort of abstract thing, this target thing, this international thing, instead of what's happening to workers in their communities and who are trying to hold on to their homes, I think that is where some of that disconnect comes in between Labor and the regions and the suburbs. So I know I'm taking the long way home, but Labor has not won a single... The left on its... On the new left, if you like, on these sort of more tangential issues, as it's drifted further away from real bread and butter stuff, it has not won a single election, bar one, in 2007, in the last 25 years. And then, of course, as soon as it won that majority election, it then completely fucked it up and lost its mind. The government became dysfunctional, and then they knifed the first-term prime minister for the first time since World War II. So that is absolute insanity. That came after News Corp, and this, I'm getting to your question. That came after News Corp overwhelmingly and openly backed Kevin Rudd for the prime ministership. So The Australian editorialised for it. The Daily Telegraph editorialised for it. The Courier Mail editorialised for it. I think all the Sunday papers editorialised for it. I think the Herald Sun might have been the only one that still... they'd have it. So there's your mastheads there. That is in accordance with time-honoured tradition where newspapers editorialise for one side or the other and do so in their editorial pages and will declare who they're going for in the last edition before the election. So that is what happened. That is what happened. All the News Corp papers backed Kevin Rudd for the prime ministership, and then the Labor Party knifed him. And when everyone, the entire country, the entire electorate rejected that decision, as did most people working for News Corp, as did I. I was following Kevin Rudd around, you know, on his listening tour. I was there on election night. I was the only journalist in Rudd's private election victory party. There was no fucking conspiracy against this guy, I can promise you that. If anything, there was a conspiracy for him. And you can argue whether that is an even greater shame. If News Corp was biased, it was biased for the Labor Party and biased for Kevin Rudd. And Pembo's written about this as well. And it wasn't us that turned on him. His party turned on him. His party knifed him. And then we said, well, hang on a minute. And you still think that we all have to support you after you don't even support yourselves? That you can just knife whoever you want and then expect... And then if... You know, if all of News Corp doesn't back you again, somehow that's right-wing bias now, is it? So the answer to your question is, you know, is there a concerted, campaign, or is there a propaganda line from News Corp? Absolutely. Well, if there was any propaganda, it was for Kevin Rudd in 2007. And then it's fair to say the whole joint went tits up. And that was not our doing. And I think if you ask anyone in the Labor Party now, and they will say that what happened in 2010 was a terrible mistake, and it ruined the careers of two prime ministers, Kevin Rudd and Julia Gillard. And Labor might well still be in power today if that hadn't have happened. And there was no policy basis for it. There was no polling basis for it. It was all just built on a house of cards and a house of lies.